Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Merkle Media.
Hey, you everybody, and welcome to Back It Up Fridays with Hammer Lane Legends. I'm your host, Jack Merkle, and I'm here to deliver you the goods on a Friday. Hope you've had a great week and are ready for the weekend. This week, we have a little bit of a cleanup to do here before we get into the show. This week, we posted a show that was actually previously posted before, and unbeknownst to me, I forgot to get rid of the show in the files that I had. And so you basically got a copy of what was posted a few weeks ago for a Wednesday show. I hope that if you haven't already looked and seen the new show that was posted yesterday, that you go ahead and check it out today, because there's a new show out this week that isn't one that was already posted previously. If that doesn't sound confusing to you and you hadn't already listened to Scott's show from a few weeks ago, then there you go. You got Scott's show on Wednesday this week. But if you did listen to it already and you were surprised, you weren't the only one. So thank you so much to those who had emailed us to let me know what was going on and that you had seen that it was a copy of a show that was already posted before. But if you haven't checked it out yet, we did post a new show that way you had something completely new for this week. So go ahead, check that one out. It's a banger. As far as what we got today, we have a great show. This was actually one that was posted a long time ago at the beginning of 2021. Well, beginning-ish. This was back, Tony was still on the show. And in this episode, episode 55, Truckmageddon, it was just Tony and my dad on that show. They went through the voicemails that we had at that time and just kind of gave everybody an update on what was going on. There was a lot of sickness and weather-related incidents that had kept them from being able to record for a few weeks. So it actually delayed our show at that time. But anyway, this was a great episode. I know you guys will enjoy it because it was really relaxed and enjoyable to listen to. And again, if you haven't checked it out, we did post a new episode that wasn't a repeat of Scott's interview. So go ahead, check that one out and enjoy it. Yeah, so have a great one. Enjoy the show and peace out.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people that really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going to Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around.
It's been a while since we've done this.
I know, right? It's weird.
It was different when I came downstairs to set up for everything. I was like, that's a Sunday. It's a Sunday, and we're recording. Thank God, you know?
It's been a while.
I know you were saying that you're tired of not doing the recordings, and this winter's just been nuts with the weather and mom's sickness.
Yep.
It's crazy.
It has been crazy. The weather sucked, and then your mom getting COVID sucked more, and then she got pneumonia from COVID.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends.
You're my host.
I am your host.
Yes, you are.
It's been a while.
What's your name?
It's been a while. What is my name?
I don't know.
I have a different name for different shows these days.
What are you going by today?
I guess I'll go by Tony today.
Okay, today I'm going to go by Lemongrass Gogolo.
Lemongrass Gogolo. Okay. Oh, you're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. We are your hosts, Lemon whatever.
Lemongrass Gogolo and Tony Merkel.
And Tony Merkel. Thanks for being here, everybody. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammer. Nope, that's the old one.
That's the old one.
HLLpodcast@protonmail.com. That's HLLpodcast@protonmail.com. There you can go ahead and shoot us your emails and we will get back to you. And if you don't want to email us that way, if it's too hard to remember the email, go ahead to hammerlanelegends.com. That's the website. And we have a contact section there that you can go ahead and email us directly to there. And we'll get that email as well. So whatever works for you is good for us. Right, Dad?
You got that right.
Absolutely.
That's so, lemongrass to you.
That's right. Lemongrass. Papa lemongrass.
There you go.
Oh boy, it's been a while. It's just been it's refreshing to sit down and just chop it up, you know, we're just gonna have some fun today. If you guys want and you want to kind of prepare yourselves for emergencies, go to preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com, and there you can get yourself emergency supply food, other emergency supplies, but the food will last you up to 25 years shelf life. It's a great deal, and even if you're out on the road for a living and stuff, it's always good to have some kind of emergency food in the cab with you. If you're an Uber driver, we've had some Uber drivers on the show,
we're
going to have another Uber driver coming up here soon. I'll tell you about him in a second. Remind me to do that. And, you know, it's just good to be prepared. So if you want, go ahead and prepare with HLL.com.
And if you haven't noticed, we're still going through COVID. Everybody's still wearing masks. We're still doing vaccines. And at the rate we're going, that food will still be good.
Yeah. 25 years from now when COVID's over. Oh, it's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, we have a voicemail line and we do have a lot of voicemails to get through today. So we're going to make this a voicemail show with a conversation in between. We're just going to hang out. I don't know how long we're going to go today. It's been a while since we sat down to record. So I think we got a lot of stuff to just chit chat about, I'm sure. But if you guys want and you want to call the voicemail line, go ahead and give us a call. Our phone number is 515-585-MERK or 6375. That's 515-585-6375. Now that we got the business out of the way, it is good to be in the studio again with you, Dad.
Yes, it is. It's been
It's been so long.
Oh, my word. It feels like forever.
It really has. I mean, I feel like it's been more than a month, hasn't it? It's something like that. I mean, it's been the COVID with mom for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I know my mom was put in the hospital with pneumonia from the COVID, and we just got her out of the hospital this week. So that was like crazy. And then the snowstorms this winter we had that was delaying us. I mean, we've been trying to piece together shows. We've been
piece together is right. It's what it feels like.
I mean, we've been putting off interviews, rescheduling. I mean, I think half our schedule that we have here in the next coming weeks is just reschedules. Yeah. But friends, I mean, if you're listening to the show and you want to call into the show or email us, please do. Our email address is hllpodcast@protonmail.com. We want you guys to email us your experiences. We want you guys to come on the show and chop it up with us. So please don't be shy about that. We are very excited to talk to you and kind of just hang out and stuff.
Yeah. And we open that up to anybody who drives or anything like that. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be truck
or forklift operators, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We've talked to all kinds of people and we just love hearing the stories.
Yeah.
That's what makes it fun. It's a life experience.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, we call the show Hammer Lane Legends and the truck driver aspect of it, but it's really just people who are out there driving for a living, whatever it is. I mean, I wouldn't have any opposition to having a train engineer on the show.
Oh my word, that'd be cool.
Or a pilot, somebody who flies for a living.
Yeah,
you know,
that'd be cool.
Like it'd be fun to talk to these kind of people and stuff because all these kind of jobs they come with their own baggage.
Yes,
they really come with their own baggage where you're dealing with a lot of nonsense, you know. Sometimes it's self-inflicted, and sometimes, you know, it's the people around you, or you know, weather, or you know, something that you just never could have seen coming. That it's like, wait until I get home to tell my wife or husband this, you know, like holy cow, you know. The city bus drivers, we had some people that do that on the show, and it's just we have a lot of fun. Last week's show, we did a rerun. The first rerun we've ever done. It's the first rerun I've ever done. I've never had to do a rerun before. And I was just like, this is new. But I knew it wouldn't be a big deal, especially the episode we were dropping. It was Sam's episode.
Yeah.
It was the second episode we ever did?
Yep.
Yeah.
It sure was.
And it was by far in the top, I would say the top three or four interviews I've ever done.
Yeah.
And we got an email this past week from a guy who just said just that. He said that interview was the best interview I have ever, or no, he said it was the best podcast episode he has ever listened to.
That's
so, I mean, it's the world of podcasts out there, you know, and all the episodes.
There's a million podcasters.
Yeah. And so I tell you, I always think back to that episode and the dramatic nature of what he was sharing with us, anywhere from coming underneath fire from enemies to, you know, the out of body experience where he was literally able to direct his convoy out of his body.
Right.
I mean, Sam did it. Like, he has some experiences, and we should have him back on the show.
Yeah, we should. I agree.
Man, so we got an email from a lady a few weeks ago, and I read it, and I was just, it was really cool. And I told her I was going to read it on the air because it really made me feel good. And I know you've read this too. It made me feel like we're doing something special.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm assuming that's how you felt too.
I did, very much so.
Yeah.
It was really cool to hear.
So her name's Mary, and she emailed us. And in the first part of the interview or of the email, she had said about some of her paranormal experiences for the confessionals, which, by the way, Mary, I would love to talk to you because let me just read this part. I'll have to call in there someday. My grandma was a shaman. My father was a minister who kicked a witch off the board of deacons who promptly cursed my family. And we lived in a haunted house just for starts.
Wow, what a tease, huh? Yeah. That's a teaser and a half.
Mary, what are you doing to me? You're holding out, you know? Like, holy cow. So, yeah, Mary, definitely on a side note, please email the show because I'd love to have you on the confessionals. But she says here, listening to Hammer Lane Legends actually kept me out of some bad spots and probably saved mine and my kids' lives. I have medically complex kids who have to have surgery and appointments at a children's hospital 3-hour drive time each way from home. To get through there, we have to go through the Altamont Pass in California. There are always tons of trucks and they're going from the valley to the Bay Area and back. Having listened to your show, I learned a few things about how truckers drive, the space they need, and how they can or can't see you. Knowing this, there are spaces in the lanes I don't drive in now. Our last trip was 4 days ago, and on that trip alone, we saw many cars hanging out right behind the driver's side door and speeding up. When the trucks were trying to come over, I saw a truck signaling that it was moving into the second lane to let another truck onto the freeway. So I slowed to make room, and then got into the next lane where I was able to pass the truck. The car behind me thought they'd get ahead of the truck and sped up to pass the truck as the truck was moving over, but couldn't in time. After the truck passed the other truck and had just merged on, he signaled and then made a start to move back into the first lane again. That same car tried to get between the two trucks by moving into the first lane as the first truck was moving over. Thankfully, there was a shoulder to swerve onto, or that would have been an ugly sandwich. As it was, the truck had to swerve back into the second lane to avoid hitting that stupid car. There would have been nowhere for me to swerve to avoid him, but because of your podcast, I now give trucks as much room as I can I had to flip the page.
I get you.
I printed this on one piece of paper with double sides. So let me do that again. But because of your podcast, I now give trucks, flip, as much room as I can. So I was far enough ahead to see all of this in my rearview mirror instead of on the side of the truck like I used to drive. I hope that all made sense. Yes, it did, Mary. I hope it all made sense after I read it.
It did.
Now I've told my teens that they have to listen to your podcast as part of their driver's ed before they're allowed to drive the freeways. Anyways, I just wanted to say hi and thanks again. I'll be listening from the fast lane, Mary.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
That is so cool. We are now part of Driver's Ed.
Yeah, there you go.
That's cool.
I can imagine there's probably some people out there thinking, oh, dear God, don't do that. You know,
her kids are thinking that.
Yeah. But I think it's really cool. And Mary, thank you for the email. Being a podcaster, I don't know if all podcasters are like this. And I don't even know if you're like this, Dad. But for me, there's multiple layers and levels to meaning as to what I do, you know? Mm. When it comes to the confessionals being a paranormal show, and as a Christian, there's a whole spiritual level that I have motivations as well for, right? So I don't ever step out of my lane or, you know, anything like that on my show, but just being me on the show, I get emails from people. I literally just answered an email the other day from a guy in Australia who told me from listening to my show, he decided to give his life to Jesus Christ. That's and cool. Him and his girlfriend started going to church and, wow. and all that stuff. And they're trying to find a good community to get plugged into. And, you know, I think back on the show and I think sometimes like, what did I even say to spawn that, you know? Yeah. But it's a very positive, good side effect of that show, you know, because we deal with the paranormal, which can be on the spiritual plane and all that stuff, and mm-hmm. me being who I am. And then with this show, you know, you sit back and you think, you know, it's an entertainment-based show. We have fun. We laugh a lot. We tease each other. We tease the guests. The guests tease us. Right. Everybody's having fun, you know? It's a big yuck fest. But on a more emotional, deeper level, I do wonder, you know, are we having a deeper impact in the world, you know? Right. And getting that email was really nice for me, at least, because mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, that's what it's about right there. It you is. Know, like, who knows? Maybe we saved Mary's life and her kid's right. life just by her understanding how trucks operate on the road.
Yes.
So
that's a great point. That really is a great point. And, you know, that's why every now and then we kind of chuckle at it when we do them and we say, well, this is our PSA for the day, you yeah. know, type of thing. But really, if it makes a difference for someone, and, you know, it can save lives.
Yeah,
people just start thinking and looking around, and Mary's doing that. Mm-hmm. She's an example of that, and what can happen when you actually, you know, pay attention and you look.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that's really cool.
I think it's really cool too. To backtrack a little bit, just to give people kind of an update, I mentioned it, I think, maybe twice here since we started recording. You know, it's been a rough few months ever since mm-hmm. the turn of the year.
Yeah.
You know, it's just been a rough year. The snowstorms, like last year, we didn't get any snowstorms.
Nothing.
Not one time.
Not one storm.
Like, I don't think we got one snowflake last yeah. year. And this year, it's just been snowstorms left and right. And most of them are coming on Saturdays and Sundays.
Yep.
And so you haven't been able to get in the studio. And I've mentioned it a couple times, maybe on my live broadcast or something, just briefly, because I know some people know about it. But Mom got COVID. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she pretty much with the initial testing, what was her symptoms like? I mean, it didn't seem like it was too bad.
She was just coughing, and she knew that where she worked, she couldn't work. They wouldn't let her work if she was coughing.
Yeah.
So she figured it was one of her days off. She just figured she'd go get tested. You know, make sure everything was okay. That way she could tell them at work, no, I'm good. It's, you know, I got tested. It's not COVID. It's just a cold or whatever.
Yeah.
And she tested positive. And then she sent me a text message. So I woke up for work that night. I got the text message. Hey, I have COVID. I'm downstairs.
Well, Lottie, freaking da. Yeah,
thanks for coming up and letting me know so I can call work.
Yeah.
But she had no symptoms for like a week and a half.
Yeah, it was just regular cold stuff, right?
Yeah, it was just, you know, cough and that kind of stuff. Even after the diagnosis, it was nothing. I looked at her and said, like, you're the healthiest COVID person I've ever seen.
And for somebody who, yeah, I mean, Mom has some serious immunity deficiencies.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, we've talked about this ever since the COVID stuff. Like, we don't, at the Merkel household, we don't really sweat the COVID thing,
right.
Okay? And the only thing we sweated was Mom possibly getting it
because of the impact.
Like, when you look at the statistics, it's the elderly and those who have bad immune systems, right. And that fit Mom, you know? Yeah. She's not that
She's
old.
She's not elderly. But, she just well, has the
sometimes her body seems yeah, like it's exactly. elderly. Holy crap, you know? But, you know, she got the COVID and she was doing good. And I wasn't sweating it even then. I was like, the odds are ever in her favor.
Yep.
You know? And it was like two weeks later. So they say that, you know, you're not contagious after a certain period.
After 5 days.
After five days.
That's what they said. That's what they told us.
And so, almost 14 days later and stuff, that's when it kicked in, I guess.
That's when she got pneumonia. She just started feeling lousy. It was like she was, you know, upset stomach throughout the weekend. And then Monday, she felt a little bit worse. And then Tuesday, it just wham. I mean, it just literally hit her overnight. It's like it just hit her overnight.
Yeah.
And she couldn't even get, you know, socks on. She just slid her shoes on. She couldn't even get up the steps. Yeah, she couldn't even get up the steps to wake me up to say, hey, because I had worked the night before.
Yeah.
And she said she couldn't get up the steps. She didn't have the energy.
Wow.
And she didn't think she could, you know, she would not be able to make it up the steps without passing out.
Holy crap.
So she slid her shoes on without socks.
And drove herself
to the hospital. I was like,
and once again, you wake up to a text. Hey,
yeah, exactly. And you know, the funny thing is like, she got to the hospital, and she went. She couldn't figure out. She's trying to think what entrance should she go to?
Yeah,
because it's one of these hospitals that is like just, it's like a campus. It's like all over the place.
It's like a college campus.
Yeah, it's nuts. No offense to the hospital that she went to, but it was just crazy. It's just one of those hospitals that it annoys me.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm healthy.
Yeah.
So she went to the one entrance and they said, oh, no, you have to go over to this other entrance.
How about you just check me in and move my car?
She stood there and started to cry. Literally started to cry.
Really?
Because she just couldn't move anymore. She couldn't breathe. She had pneumonia. She could not breathe. And these people are like telling her, well, so they went and they got her a wheelchair and wheeled her to where she needed to go.
And somebody moved the car for her?
I guess. I don't know.
Well, no, because she parked
where she went in at. She was supposed to go to the emergency area, not the main entrance.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they told her that.
Okay. So
she just started to cry.
Wow.
I mean, and you know,
poor mom.
Yeah, I felt so, when she told me that, I almost started to cry.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, I felt so bad for her because I couldn't do anything, you know? And then I called the hospital. It's like, I wasn't able to go visit her.
Yeah.
I could not go in. You know, she had COVID. I'm not allowed in.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. So mom got the COVID, and from the COVID, as the COVID's winding down, COVID had a little surprise for her, and she got pneumonia.
Yeah.
I had FaceTimed her the day that she drove herself to the hospital, and I'm assuming pretty shortly before she actually drove herself to the hospital. Right. And she seemed like mom. I mean, she didn't have her makeup on. She's like, don't look at me. I don't have my makeup on. It's like, that's mom, you know?
Right.
And so I was just like, how you feeling? And she's like, you know, and you know, I saw her cough a little bit, and at one point she like closed her eyes like she was trying to just focus.
Mm.
And I was like, dang, she's sick. But it never crossed my mind that she was having a hard time breathing. She didn't even tell me that she was having a hard time breathing.
Yeah.
And so when I found out she was in the hospital, I was like, freaking A, you know? Yeah. And but you know, God's good. And
yes, he is.
What, 2 days later she was out?
Three
days later.
Yep, she was in for 3 days.
Yeah. And so, you know, when we went to go pick her up and stuff, I mean, she was totally different.
Yeah.
Chipper.
Yeah, she was. She was. I mean, after you left, we were walking to the car,
uh-huh.
and she got winded walking to the car,
oh,
which was, yeah, I mean, not even the length of a football field, half a football field, not even if that, you know, in the parking garage. And she goes, we have to stop for a second. Like, take your time. There's no rush. We're not, no hurry to get, you know, just get you in the car and sit you down, but just take your time.
Yeah.
So I said to her, so I could just go find the car, and you know, because I didn't know where she parked. She wasn't even sure where she parked the car.
That seemed like it.
Yeah, I was like, well, what area did you park it in?
It's been 3 days, and I had pneumonia.
I wasn't in my right mind. I don't know. But wow. We found it and got her in it and got her home.
Man.
And then a couple of days, and you know, she's bounced back pretty well.
Heck yeah.
You know,
saw her at church today, and she seemed like her normal self.
Yeah, I mean, she was actually walking around when her, you know, her, like I said, her first day, she was really having a hard time walking and breathing, and you know, but within a day or two, she had really kind of picked back up. So, but you know, that's your mom. She's tough that way. She endures a lot of pain, with
frustratingly
with her
tough sometimes.
Yes,
because she's so tough that we feel like, hey, mom.
Yeah.
I want to tell some more people what's going on.
Let somebody know what's happening. Yeah. Yeah, with her autoimmune diseases and all that, she, you know, she's always got pain.
Yeah.
So I think she just gets used to it.
Since she's been my age, right?
Yeah.
I mean, her early mid 30s.
Yep. That's when it started.
Yeah.
And so she's just kind of used to it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when things start to bother her like that, she just kind of internalizes it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, makes herself do it.
Imagine living your whole life in just constant pain to the point that it just is so normal that you don't even think about it.
Right.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. It really is.
But that's Mama Bear right there. And I just wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit just because, you know, one, I wanted people to understand, I'm not sure what Jack did on last week's show as far as the intro goes. I don't know if he told people, but I know some people knew, and I just wanted to kind of give people a little bit of a story there and let them know mom's doing well.
Yeah.
And she's good. You never got sick.
No. Still haven't.
Yeah.
Which,
you what know, do you sound? You sound like you want it.
No.
Still haven't gotten sick, man. What the heck's going on here?
I didn't even have to get sick, and I still got time off of work.
Yeah.
Because I had a quarantine with her.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to. I was quarantined with the woman for 14 days and never got anything.
Slept in the same room.
Slept in the same room.
Hung out in the living room together.
Yep.
There you go.
Cooked her meals.
Cooked her meals.
Cleaned up the house. Did the dishes.
Jeez.
I didn't do laundry.
There you go.
I do the dishes because we have a dishwasher. I have limits.
That's so sexist.
It may be, but I'm old, so I'm allowed. But you know, on top of that, I just wanted to say thank you to the audience, to the listeners, you know, for being patient with us through all of this, through this winter, with all the cancellations and not being able, and so having to move shows around and all that, and even with the past couple of weeks with your mom, you know.
Yeah. So if there's anybody out there that we did have scheduled and you haven't heard back from me as far as like getting it rescheduled, please just email us. Yeah. If you have my number, text me. I've been juggling so many interviews.
Yeah. It's been really insane. Busy.
I mean, with Hammerlane and what's been going on to the confessionals, there's been a couple of weeks where I had to juggle things. And Saturdays is when I really hammer out a ton of interviews. And so like, if I have to move three or four interviews that I do on Saturdays, where do I put them? You know what I mean? And so I've been just juggling so much. I haven't had a day where I haven't done an interview in about a week and a half now.
Wow. That's a lot of time.
I got another week stretch at least before I have a day where I don't have anything scheduled. So it's just been a lot of names, a lot of stories, whether it's truck driving stuff to the paranormal stuff, a lot of stories going in and out of my head. I did an interview with a guy named Chad, and we talked about something. And like, seriously, him and I talked, and it was a good show. Like, so we kept in touch. And just yesterday I was emailing back and forth with him, and I told him, I was like, man, listen, like, I know you said about having more stuff at the cabin. I wouldn't mind having you back on, but did we do a two-part show or did we only do one part? And he said, I think we only did one part. I was like, okay, man, I just couldn't remember, you know? And so we scheduled another time for him to come on and fill people in on more stuff, but it's just a lot, you know?
Sure.
And so, I mean, I hope that everybody kind of is still sticking around and stuff. And we've had shows for everybody except for last week, you know?
Right.
It's just like we legit ran out of episodes to give you last week.
Yeah, exactly.
and we weren't in studio to hit record and just, you know,
nothing
talk.
We could do.
But we just got done doing an interview. Mm-hmm. And if people remember, we had a guy on named Ryan. I forget what episode number it was.
22-ish.
I
think what it was.
Yeah. And we had his dad on today where I'll tell you, like, this guy, he started driving in what, 58, he said?
Yeah.
In 1958.
Yep. Drove into the mid-80s.
Yeah. So, I mean, he has experience from way back in the day when the trucking industry wasn't even remotely what it is now. I mean, if he stopped in the mid-80s, he literally stopped driving truck right around the time I was born. I was born in 85, you know? And so it was kind of cool to listen to him talk. And it was nice, too, because I sat back and just let you two just go back and forth a lot, you know? Right. And it was just kind of like cool just hearing this older guy talk about how it used to be driving. Cause a lot of things you guys are talking about, I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, like,
cool.
Yeah. I was like, you guys go to town. And it turns out that Barry actually wound up working at the same place that you worked at one time.
Yep, yep.
And it was just cool. It was a good conversation and people will hear that next week.
Yeah.
But you know, we have voicemails to get to, and I want to get to these voicemails. And again, I want to remind you guys, if you want to call in, if you have like a short story you want to share with us and you don't really want to come on the show, you can call the voicemail line. But if it is a longer story, if you have multiple stories, please just email us and come on the show, because we're here to talk with you. And it's really laid back. I mean, we really have some fun, and it's not, you know, anything that you have to be nervous about or anything. I know some people get nervous, but it's just two knuckleheads talking with
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
But yeah, the phone number to call in again is 515-585-MERK or 6375. And you can leave a voicemail up to 15 minutes long. I suggest if you're getting up to the 15-minute mark, you should probably just, you know,
send us an email.
Yeah, email us.
We'd love to talk to you.
And I see one of the voicemails here. I have the same number twice. And the first, it doesn't tell me minutes. It just tells me seconds. Hmm. So the first voicemail is 899 seconds. So I'm thinking
that's a lot of seconds.
He might have ran out of time. He might have hit that 15-minute mark and called back for the last 53 seconds of the story. But anyways, let's get to this first voicemail and have some fun here, guys.
Hey guys, my name is J.W. Wheeler. I work for Love's driving a fuel tanker, and I'm going to call in a story. First of all, I'm saying that guy, the body snatcher, is wearing us out, man. He sounds like he is out on Pluto, but anyway. We were loading out of a refinery coming out of Big Spring, Texas, one night on Interstate 20. There's a couple of us in the convoy there. Nothing in the sky, nothing. All of a sudden, we hear a gigantic, like a sonic boom. And an object started flying across the sky, turning green. Then it starts breaking apart. We didn't know what it was, man. We thought it was, we were getting nuked. We had no idea. And I can back this up. You guys can go on YouTube and find it. It's on there. The missile or something over West Texas. It's on there, man. Y'all check that clip out. You guys on the road, check that clip out. That thing came flying across the interstate. Got in the horn on the radios, and we thought that was it. It broke apart. We never saw anything land or anything, you know, crazy like that. And as soon as I got home, you know, I got on YouTube to check, see if it's on there, you know, is it on the news or what is it? And they said on there, and you'll see it, if you look on YouTube, that it was part of a Russian missile that was breaking up as it re-entered the atmosphere, or an old satellite or an old missile. I can't remember. One of those two. Anyway, that's a story. Hope I'm under 15 minutes here and won't wear anyone out like a good old body snatcher. You guys keep up the good work and try to catch the show. I sent you guys an email there. Another story there. Y'all are wanting shout outs from far southwest Texas and everything. I sent y'all a little one there. Anyways, keep up the good work, fellas. Appreciate you. Hammer down.
Hammer down. Hammer down. Did he say he sent us an email?
Yes. That's okay. What he said. I'll check that out.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I answered it. I'm not sure. I've been trying to catch up on emails too.
Yeah.
Even with the confessionals, Lindsay usually handles all the administrative stuff, but the kids have been just on another level recently. Right. And so I've been trying to pull overtime on the administrative stuff as well. But yeah, if I didn't get back to you, I will get back to you, because we definitely.
Yeah, it sounds
definitely
cool.
Checking it out.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen anything crazy come flying?
Not like that. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's freaking nuts.
Mm.
I mean, that sounds neat. I mean, I've seen, you know, meteorites, you know, I've seen meteors and, you know, coming down, but they become meteorites when they hit. But
is that how the science works?
That's the science.
Okay.
It's a meteorite. Once it's hit the ground and shatters, it's a piece of a meteorite.
But, now, did you learn that in school, or did you learn that driving truck, listening to like Coast to Coast or something?
I think I learned that listening to the radio. I didn't learn a whole lot in school.
Yeah.
And I'm a truck driver.
Especially the senior year.
Yeah, you got that right. When you miss 46 days in one year, you know, you're not taking it seriously.
So didn't Jack beat that record, though?
I don't know, but I know he didn't graduate with his class. Am I allowed to say that on the air?
It don't matter.
It's there now.
It don't matter. It's there now. It's ancient history.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, I know he was kind of playing that game too. He looks a lot like you, acts a lot like you. Yeah,
except for he's got a lot of hair.
Yeah.
But it's starting to thin. He said to me, he thinks it's starting to fall.
Oh,
awesome.
Now you're airing the dirty laundry. Now you're airing
the dirty
laundry.
He has grown his hair and he's grown a beard. He looks like Jesus. Honestly, it's like, I don't know what else
and
to say.
And he's got like...
If you want a picture of what Jack looks like, just get any random picture of Jesus. That's what Jack is looking like right now. Long hair, beard.
And the funny thing is, his hair is like yours used to be too. Yeah. So like back in the day, it was cool. So let me preface it by saying this was actually the style back then.
It was.
You had a mullet.
I did have a mullet.
And over the years, it became less of a mullet, but just longer hair in the back.
Yeah.
But you combed it all back. Yeah. And so it didn't even look like a mullet at some point. It just kind of flowed all together. But it was always curly in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Jack's is now, where it's like this long, straight hair. And his hair is like down past his shoulders now.
Yeah.
But it's real like locks of love, you know, in the back. You know? But
it looks cool. I mean, I don't mean to diss him on it.
When he first started talking about growing his hair out and stuff, like, what? And then he grew the man bun thing. I was like, bro. And yeah. He's like, trust me, it's part of the process. I'm like, all right.
It's a sucky process.
Yeah. I mean, he like once it grew out, it looks good. Yeah, it really does, you know? But yeah, anyways, I've never seen anything crazy fall out of the sky. I hope I never do.
No, right. Exactly.
I've seen a UFO a couple times. I'm pretty sure it was the same one multiple times. But yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. I would have been, crapping my pants.
Heck yeah. I mean, who knows? And to find out it was like, either a Russian missile or a Russian satellite breaking up. It's like, well, dude, I don't want that landing on my house.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I mean, I know they kind of, figure this stuff out and, they understand the trajectory and all that stuff, but
do
still.
They?
Yeah, exactly.
Do they? I mean, listen,
if their predictions like that are like they are with COVID and the mask stuff,
wear a mask, hey, do you guys got toes? Because we're stepping on them, but there's an episode that I did for the confessionals, episode 122. And it kind of gives me the similar vibe where, I had a guy named Charlie on the show and he was like, he was in the military and he was sent out to retrieve a downed aircraft. Mm. And when he came across him and the scientists, they sent a team of scientists with them. Like,
was this like 1947?
No, he's around my age. Oh, I see what you're saying. I see what you did there.
You see what I did.
I see what you did there. Anybody who's not in the know, Roswell.
Yeah.
But
guess I should have explained that.
But he gets on scene and he's like, this is something I've never seen before in my life. It was totally foreign.
Wow.
And he had to retrieve the technology off of it. And there's a whole long story. It's very mind bending, crazy. But at the end of it, they had to burn it with thermite.
Wow.
Yeah. So nobody else could get the technology. A little side note for anybody who listens to that show and thinks that maybe Charlie is crazy or lying or something. Charlie has proven himself to me time and time and time again. I'll tell you, Charlie's a useful person to have on your side.
That's cool.
I promise you. Like, he still works in very covert technology kind of realm.
Wow.
And he's handled a couple of things for me that I needed to get handled.
No kidding.
Yeah, I'll tell you about
that's
it off air.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Charlie's 100% legit.
Wow.
100% legit, and I'm so glad he's my friend. Let's just put it this way. I can find you. And when I find you.
You won't like it.
Yeah. What was that Liam Neeson line? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, from Taken.
Taken, yeah.
The heck did he say?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
I'm not much of a movie guy, but let's get to
so
the next
you said.
One. Yeah, very much so. Very much so. But, it is what it is.
Oh, yeah, it's all right.
All right, let's do this next one.
Hi, my name is Amy Graham, and I was driving with my boyfriend back from Michigan, and we were going from there to Arkansas, and we were about 3 hours out. And I was on my phone trying not to pay attention to what was going on because I hate car rides. And all of a sudden, he, starts freaking out and yelling. And so, I look up. And I know he had to throw on his brakes, but I would say maybe a football field and a half or two, there was a semi-truck that fishtailed, and we were the only car between, it was just us and then the semi, and the back end of it went to the left, knocked out the guardrail on the side, and then it went back the other way. It was just so fast. I'm not exactly sure how all that happened, but as soon as it started to move to the right, it started to roll and immediately caught on fire. I've never seen something catch on fire that quickly. And so I was already freaked out, obviously. And we pulled to the left because we were in the left-hand lane. And my first instinct was to get out and go run towards it. But I'm 5'3". And about 105 to 110 pounds. And I just said to him, I said, you go, give me your phone. And so he gave me his phone, and because I didn't know where we were. We were going from Michigan to Arkansas, and I was like, I don't even know where we are. He ran towards that truck, and so I got on the phone, called 911, and I just said my name, what was happening, that this truck was completely on fire. And I said to them, you know, I don't know where we are. I'm looking at the GPS. Hold on. And so I just started, like, mouthing off numbers and names and all the things, trying to make sure that, like, they could figure out where the heck we were, because we were on a major highway. But thankfully, I think that by that time, other people were calling and they were like, okay, we know where you are, so it's okay. I was like, okay, well, I'll remain on the line with you until I see things. But as this is all happening, all on the left side, there were all these trucks that pulled over. On the right side, all these trucks that pulled over. It was actually like a really weird kind of cool thing, but they were blocking off everything as it was happening. But this truck, I've never seen anything like it. It was completely engulfed in flames. And then I started worrying about my boyfriend being like, or ex-boyfriend at the time. Oh gosh, is he okay? And then I see this guy running across the interstate. And I think it was actually, at the time I didn't know, but it was the truck driver. And my boyfriend runs back to the car and, you know, says, well, I said, is there anybody else in there? And he said, no, it was just him. And anyway, we were there for hours, like a massive amount of time. And anyway, I can elaborate more on what happened after that and people coming up and all things, but that whole interstate was closed off for probably 2 to 3 hours, and we were the only car in between everything that was going on. But since that has happened, I have gained so much respect for truck drivers and in just knowledge that you have to freaking be aware of your surroundings. Because I was never afraid, and not that you should be, but you should just know. But I was never afraid of being alongside of a truck until that happened. And had we been any closer, I hate to like think that, because it was surreal. I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. So, like, I respect y'all. And I have pictures of it, too. So, if you want me to send you the pictures of the actual crash site, I mean, we were right there. I mean, it was insane. But I respect y'all for what you do. And people need to be aware of the fact that there's a lot that can go on the road. So anyway, that's kind of my story of what I've dealt with that. And, you know, luckily everything turned out all right and nobody got hurt. That's the main thing. Yeah. So anyway, I love y'all's show. And if y'all have any questions, you can feel free to call me. Thanks.
Well, Amy, thanks for calling in. I see she just called back and stuff. So I'm going to just play this right now before we act.
Hey, I called earlier. I'm sorry. Hopefully y'all don't play this before you listen to it.
Never mind. We got you covered, Amy. We'll got you covered. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
5 minutes later.
Oh, that wasn't too bad, right?
Nah, it was all right.
Should we play it?
Yeah, we should.
All right, let's play it. Amy, no problem. We don't care. You're going to be on for the second time on the show.
That's right.
Let's do it.
Hey, I called earlier. I'm sorry. Hopefully y'all don't play this before you listen to it. But Amy from earlier, Amy Graham, I was talking about the crash that I saw on the interstate. I also, like, I'm really familiar with personal injury type stuff. And I've heard a lot of your shows, like, where it's talking about people who have been in wrecks and different things like that, and their lives have been really messed up by it. I recently listened to some guy, and poor thing, like, he had some guy that was killed in the accident, and it wasn't his fault. So anyway, I have some insight on that. I kind of think that I might be able to shed some light on how some people feel about it. But at the same time, I'm totally on y'all's side when it comes to that it's totally not y'all's fault. But I forgot to mention that earlier whenever I was talking about the whole incident with what I saw and the fact that I told my boyfriend and everybody not to talk to anybody but the police because they took our statements and stuff, just so it didn't get convoluted. And what was ever going to happen out of that was going to be straightforward and not, misconstrued by different people talking. And I think that it worked out really well that way. So anyway, that's all I was having to say. I apologize for taking your time, but I kind of wanted to at least say that before if I was able to talk to y'all about it, how I kind of viewed it. Anyway, I love y'all's show, and I also listen to the confessionals. So, yep. Good night.
Good night, Amy.
Good night, Amy.
Thanks for calling.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
It's nice to have somebody call like that.
Yeah, she should call back and tell us what she's talking about. I mean, exactly. If she wants to shed the light, go for it.
Yeah, word. That'd be cool.
And if you think it's going to be worth an entire show, if you think that you have enough to talk about, let's do it.
Yeah. Even, even if you don't think it'll be a long conversation.
We could do a short combo.
Yeah. And have you on. We'd love to. I mean, and you never have to apologize for taking up our time. You're not. That's what we're here for. We appreciate the phone call.
Yeah.
I don't ever want anybody to apologize for taking time or anything like that. That's not what we're doing. And it's never a problem.
Yeah.
We love to hear from people.
I agree. And Amy, feel free to contact us either email or call back and shed some more light. I mean, that's what we're here for. And we don't need everybody to agree with us, right?
No, exactly.
I literally looked over at you like, we should talk about this beforehand.
What do you think, old man?
What do you think, Dad? Do we need everybody to agree with us or not?
We don't even agree with each other. What are you talking about?
That's true. You should hear us fight off air.
Oh, all the time.
All the time.
It's horrible. Last week,
I had to replace my door to the studio because he threw me through it.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
He's a terrible old man.
I'm still recovering.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about injuries, Amy. Jeez. Talk to this guy.
He needs an injury lawyer.
There you go. Well, there's plenty of advertising on the billboards on the highway at night. I'm sure you see plenty of them, Well, we should call it Merkel and Sons.
Yeah, there you go. We'll open up our own little business.
There you go. Yeah. Don't ask to see our licensing, though.
Licensing
bar? Yeah, there's one down the street. Yeah, exactly. Let's go get some drinks.
There's a couple.
That's the only bar we know. Oh man, let's get to the next one.
Toot toot, what's up, boys? It's your boy Mikey. Currently in San Antonio. Just left New Orleans this morning at about 2 o'clock in the morning. Did what they call a repower, a regeneration, a regen. I don't know, different words for different companies. But basically swapped a trailer out. I left a voicemail, listened to the call-in show. Seemed like my limey butt was on there. But I've got to say, I listened to the Body Snatcher while I was cruising down towards New Orleans. Man, the Body Snatcher is a different cat, isn't it? And how appropriate I was listening to it when I was cruising into New Orleans early in the morning. And on that note, I can tell you right now, I'm about 6 weeks into the job. Man, this is a different beast. I wish people out there could experience what we experience out here on the roads. After I left you a message, I said, oh, this has got to be the toughest job ever. Oh, boy, did it get tougher than that. So after I left you a voicemail, and I'm going to try and keep it a bit pithy because when I listen to myself on the show, boys, I thought I waffled a little bit, and I do have a habit and a tendency to do so. So anyway, I'll try and keep it a wee bit pithy for the audience and for you guys so you can squeeze in all those great calls from the Body Snatcher and others, and including the double voicemails that you get. But after that, I went to Seattle. I got stuck there in snow, ended up having to go to Portland, picking up a load there. And then I went over to Snoqualmie Mountains, got stuck there for 6 hours because of being crazy snow and ice and all that kind of stuff. Got through that. Got to the other end towards, I believe it was Oregon, and there's a thing called the cabbage. Now, any truck drivers out there who do OTR in the Northwest, now, I found out after I did all this that the Northwest is to be avoided in the winter. Well, like I said, they threw my ass out there. And that's good, because the learning curve is great, and boy, did I get some learning in the first 4 weeks, especially that first 3 weeks. But I went up a thing called the cabbage, and as I was cruising up, I didn't have a CB because my trainer didn't have a CB. He was a little bit younger than me, and he didn't like it because a lot of people talk a lot of crap on the CBs, and I've heard it myself, but it comes in handy when it comes to weather and traffic. Anyway, I didn't have one. So I went cruising up this mountain in Oregon, and I'm thinking, wow, this is great. Look at all the snow. This is fantastic. Well, it wasn't snowy on the road. And then I was coming up to, I saw a light flash, you know, like a dot matrix sign over the interstate. And it said, chain up ahead, chain up ahead. Now, my company's policy is if you have to chain up, just stop. Because we carry loads that can shift and move. And their policy is to just stop and be where you're at. And they'll give you what they call layover pay. So anyway, that layover pay, well, it ain't a lot, but hey, it's better than having to put chains on tires and drive through ice and snow and risk your life. And anyway, so I just happened to be going on one of the most dangerous roads in America. It's called the Cabbage. Another word for it is called Dead Man's Pass. And to preface that, I've noticed that every time I went over a crazy road of snow, there was another one called the Devil's Slide. I'm like, kind of getting a vibe here, you know. They don't call these, they don't call it the Rainbow Mountain or, you know, Fun Times Hill or Good Times Snowy Valley. It's normally Dead Man's Pass, Devil's Slide. You're gonna die Boulevard. Make sure you put your chains on, or you're gonna die. Kind of sort of vibe. But here's the deal. So when I was with my company, like I said, their policy is, if you've got to put chains on, just pull up. You don't have to do it. So I just pull up. I said, well, I ain't doing that. I'm going to just stay tight here. And it was like Truckmageddon at this point, where the DOT, the police, effectively for other people, were holding everybody up, as in trucks and cars and caravans and anything. You had to put chains on. That's great. But no one showed me how to put a chain on. Now, putting a chain on a toilet is hard enough. Putting a chain on a car probably is tough enough. But imagine putting a chain on a tractor and trailer six times. And unluckily for me, and luckily that I had them, my company decides to put two different types of chains in my truck. I checked them off the checklist. Yeah, got the chains. Won't be needing them. Anyway, so I said to the DOT, I said, well, my company won't let me chain up. I said, well, your company is going to get a $1,500 fine, and you're going to get towed over for, I think it was $1,500 fine. God knows what the tow was, probably thousands and thousands. And then they said I'd get 15 points on my license, because as truck drivers, we have a CSA score, which maybe non-truck drivers know about, so we get points on the license, much like I do in England. Actually, regular drivers get points on the license as well. Accrue points, not good. You don't get prizes for the points in this game. And anyway, so he said, you better chain up. I said, well, I don't know how to do it. And he said, well, you better learn. So there I am on the top of a mountain. It's about 3:30. It's starting to get very dark, pretty early. Well, it's starting to, the sunlight's going, I wouldn't say dark, but I tell you what, to just fast forward there, by the time I got around to chaining up and doing what I was doing, it was dark, and that was scary. But anyway, so I had to put out these chains. Those two different chains, cable chains and these like chain link things. Now, just bear in mind, these tires ain't small, and these chains ain't easy. And if you know what you're doing, it sounds like, oh, I'll just wrap a chain around it. No, not really. There's little things that you need to know to really be able to do it properly. Without the chains falling off, without you slipping and sliding. Certainly on Dead Man's Pass on the Cabbage, because you're going up and down and around, and all kinds of stuff. And it was packed with trucks with cars, with everybody. It was like Truckmageddon and Caravanmageddon, and there wasn't even enough cops to give out tickets to people without chains. But anyway, so I actually had to get YouTube out, even though I had a spotty reception up there, start linking the chains up around the bottom of the tires. I'll be honest with you, I was absolutely terrified. I was like a lost little lamb. I was watching all these truck drivers, experienced people, and there was like hawkers out there charging like $100 a pop, $50 a pop, depending on what was going on, to chain your tires up. And some of the old boys there, who had a lot of experience, I was talking to some of them, because I got stuck in Wyoming, I got stuck in Nebraska, I got stuck in Iowa in snow, and I was talking to some of the old boys, and they said they hadn't chained up in 30 years. Well, here's me, and that was 10 days in, and I was already chaining up. So anyway, cutting a long story kind of short, with trying to keep it pithy without trying to elongate the story too much, which I already am. It took me about 2 hours, and I was so blessed because I started having to watch other drivers do it because I couldn't get good reception on YouTube to watch videos how to chain a tire. And I had about 40,000 pounds strapped to, no, maybe more than that. I think my vehicle was about just shy of 80,000 pounds, 40 ton. And I was absolutely terrified. I thought, I'd say honestly, if I could have just quit and vanished back to Southern California and gone back to my little business cleaning carpets, but that weren't going to happen, and I weren't going to quit. So anyway, I got those chains on, but I went round the back, and I just saw this bald-headed guy, skinny-looking fella, looked like he knew what he was doing. Also, he had Canada plates, Manitoba plates. So I said, right, that's the guy I need to go to. This guy knows how to chain a tire. He's in Canada. He must know stuff. So I said, excuse me, mate. I said, can I just watch what you're doing? He goes, yeah, of course you can. And just reference the accent. I heard his accent. I said, where are you from? He goes, oh, Gloucestershire in England, which is in the Midlands of England, just south of the Midlands. And I said, oh, I'm from London. He goes, oh, nice to meet you. I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, help, please help me. Anyway, his name is Pete. I'm going to send him a link for the podcast. I don't know if he listens to it. But anyway, so Pete saved my bacon. He showed me how to chain. Well, he was chaining himself because he had to get over the mountain before it got dark. Bear in mind, there's a lot of trucks there. And imagine the parking at the end of it. Hundreds and hundreds of trucks trying to find parking, all their clocks running out. So you can imagine a kind of carnage just after, you know, getting over this 30-mile passage with like heavy snow and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, Pete showed me the business. He said, do you want to follow? After I chained up, he double checked my work. He said it was good, showed me some little tips. That was great. It worked. I started going. I spent about 8 miles but going very slowly before we hit the really heavy snow. Then the darkness came down and it was absolutely terrifying. I've got to say, it was a new experience, but the adrenaline was pumping. You know, you're driving this big rig, this big vehicle, you've got this responsibility. You've got these new challenges, these unexpected situations that arise. But I'll tell you what, it gets the blood pumping, you know, and that's what I love about the truck driving as well. That is certainly what I love about doing this. It's like every day is a new challenge, especially when you're doing over the road, long distance, different kind of loads. It sucks a lot, but there's a lot of times you get a real sense of, wow, I did this. But anyway, I did this. I did it. Got to the end of the cabbage, which took about 2 hours to go over, maybe more than that, to go over about 30 miles. And had to unchain. And then it was like down hairpin turns in the dark. It was crazy. Then I had to find a safe spot, which I did. And to reference that, I've been so lucky in this job. Like for some reason, I don't know, I'm not a religious person, but it's like someone's looking out for me, because every time I need to park at a truck stop, just to give a reference to people out there who don't drive a truck, going into a truck stop, there's, you know, a high chance you're going to get a tight parking situation. Most of the time you're going to see trucks like literally making parking spots. It becomes like a sardine can. I was in a place last night in Denham Springs in Louisiana that literally you could not move. It was absolute carnage, and it becomes organized chaos. But in that respect, let me tell you, and I'm going to sort of speed on, do my thing, and I'm so sorry that I'm waffling away, but I'm trying to get all this story out without sort of taking too much time. But my goodness, I tell you what, I've seen about, I'd say 29 states. The only thing I haven't done is the Northeast. And when I come to Philly, I tell you what, I'm definitely going to park up. I'll get an Uber or come pick me up. We'll go, you know, smash it out on the podcast. I'd love to do that, boys. I'd love to do that. But yeah, I've seen so much of the country. But there's the good side of it as well. Like, I've been able to stop off in certain places. I'm a bit of a foodie. I had oysters and a big old steak. I've had a few steaks. I had a steak in Iowa. I got stuck in a Kenworth service center while my truck was being fixed for 2 days and Ubered to one of the greatest steakhouses that you could ever imagine. I had a steak in Nebraska. I mean, God, I'm driving through Nebraska smelling cow shit. Why shouldn't I have a steak? I mean, I've got to eat one of them, haven't I, surely? But, you know, as compassionate as I am, but I'm a, I'm a carnivore. But New Orleans was kind of cool. I actually was in New Orleans yesterday morning in downtown New Orleans. I had to drive through there through rush hour, drive through the tiny streets, park up by a medical building that was being turned into a hotel. I had an elevator and an escalator to be dropped off, craned in. I had to arrive not early, not late, be there at 8 o'clock on the dot. I got there at 8:03. I mean, these are the challenges that you get being a truck driver. And I'll tell you what, not one day is boring. I just ran the gauntlet from New Orleans to San Antonio, the crazy roads on the I-10. It was like riding a donkey over a mountain. It was like bump, bump, bounce, bounce. And again, right now I weigh 81,000 pounds and it's like, you just don't know what's going to happen next. I won't go on about the truck stops. One day we'll get there. But I'll tell you what, boys, I haven't been disappointed. I've spent the first three weeks of the job feeling like an elephant was sitting on my chest. I would take an hour every morning, and it could be any time in the morning. Like, I started at 2 o'clock this morning, but the stress levels are pretty high because to get in a truck when you're kind of fresh, the size of these trucks, 53-foot trailer, probably about 75 foot in total with the tractor. I mean, it's pretty intense, but this week is the first week where I feel like I feel really confident with the size of the vehicle. And now I'm starting to get a vibe for it. I could already feel that I could drive on the freeways and the roads living in Los Angeles, and also driving a bus in London. And, you know, I just feel like I can get that down, especially in the cities. Not really had a problem with that, even with traffic, control the road, defensive, aggressive, but safe mirrors. Make sure you see your blind spots as best as possible. Big thing, parking, truck stops, 45s, done 39 footers where you have to do a 90 degree angle, but doing a 45 and a 53 foot trailer in a tight parking spot is it's probably the hardest thing.
And we lost him. No, it's fine. He just called back. Let's get to him.
Good.
And I said about the parking of the truck stops, and I'm going to close out because the English way, you can never hang up a phone call or be cut off. so I did go over to 15 minutes. Lads, love the podcast. I'm listening to it while I'm driving. I'm absolutely loving it. And hey, do you know what? I hate to be cut off, but I have to close it out as proper and as English as I can by saying thank you so much for the content. Not on Facebook, doing the Instagram thing. I had to drop the Facebook. Wasn't really digging the political kind of stuff with what's been going on recently. Like the face, the Instagram because of the pictures. But anyway, listen, I love you guys and I love the podcast. And I'm sorry I had to come back and finish off the voicemail with a second round. And I'll see you down the road.
All right, man.
Oh, that was so cool.
Mike, man, I can't wait till you're in the Northeast.
Yes.
If you're going to be in the Philadelphia area, you need to let us know.
Yep.
And we'll make sure
we'll pick you up.
Yep. We'll make sure we make time.
Yes.
So, Dad, what are your thoughts on his excursions?
You know what? It is so cool to hear the excitement in his voice. You know, he's doing to be a new driver, be out there and really, really kind of thrown to the wolves, you know, like he really has been.
Yeah.
And he has handled it well.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And I love some of his expressions.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
fixing a chain in a toilet's hard. Yeah.
Try chaining a truck.
I know. Like
that's awesome.
I just, he's funny. He needs to be on the show. When he brought the toilet chain, I'll tell you what, I know all about fixing that toilet chain and not, oh my gosh. The one bathroom upstairs, the toilet was going, and it was just, the water was running constantly. So I'll fix this. And I got this whole piece, and I turned off the water, and I got all wet, and water's everywhere. And I did the whole switching out, and like fixed it, turned it on, flush toilet. It's all good. No more water running. Walk out of the bathroom. All I hear is,
uh-oh.
I look back. I'm like, I didn't fix a freaking thing. I didn't fix a freaking thing.
Wow.
It's still running right now.
Maybe I should come over and help you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll tell you, I literally almost stayed home from church today just so I could go to Home Depot and get,
get the whole assembly.
I told Lindsay, I'm just going to get everything that goes in that tank and I'm going to replace it all. And hopefully that fixes it, because I don't know.
You know what I did?
Got a new toilet?
Nope.
What?
There's a gasket on the bottom of the tank that goes into the bowl that was leaking. I actually took the whole toilet apart and fixed it. I put a new gasket in it.
Really?
I didn't even know you could do that. I just figured, okay, it's leaking from that point. You got to throw it out. And I looked it up on YouTube, and there's a whole gasket thing you do there. I took the whole thing apart while I had a tank off. I cleaned out, you know, all the, you know, sludgy stuff that accumulates
up
in there. And yeah.
Wow.
Redid the whole thing. Put a new assembly inside.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It took me a Saturday afternoon. But mom went shopping.
Which took a Saturday afternoon.
So I had time.
Yeah. When mom goes shopping, she's like, I'm just going to pick up a few things.
Yeah.
Seven hours later.
Literally. What did you buy? The store?
Yeah, pretty much. She hits every aisle five times each. And she memorizes where everything's at. Just in case.
You know what, Mike? Please don't ever call and say you're sorry for calling back or anything else. Holy crap. We are here. That's why we give you 15 minutes. And if you have to call back, you call back.
Yeah.
That's what it's for. Like I said before, we love to hear from you guys.
Yep.
And, you know, so don't ever need to apologize for being long winded or going long. You know, if you ever listen to Tony's show, you know, he goes long.
I can get yappy.
No, I can get yappy. It's just cool. We don't ever mind. Nobody needs to apologize.
I started a new show called Rage Against Dystopia, and it's on Fringe FM.
And it's really good.
I appreciate that. Thank you. It really is. It's fringe.fm, not .com, .fm, fringe.fm. And they're broadcasting the show there. It's not on any podcast app. It's my rebuttal to big tech censorship. And so I'm trying to show people you can build a platform, speak your mind, and have people listen to you without big tech's help.
Yeah.
And really, it was something that initially I had started just because I wanted another platform where I could just kind of say what I wanted to say without, you know, taking it. Because, I mean, I used to do this similar stuff on the confessionals every once in a while, but I got a lot of stuff to say.
Yeah.
And so I thought, instead of changing the entire show, we'd start another platform. And I initially bought my own radio station. I don't know if I told you that, but I bought my own radio station. I was just going to broadcast on there. And it literally is a show that was not meant to grow. Mm-hmm. Like I told people, I don't care if this show grows.
This is just a vent.
Yeah, it was more therapeutic for me. And I'm like, I don't care if there's just five people listening, you know? I don't care. It's
and
not
four of those are his family.
Right. it wasn't and the other one was me.
Yeah. So,
but it just wasn't meant for anything other than if you want to listen, cool. If not, it don't matter. Right. It really doesn't. And to my amazement, Fringe.fm said they wanted the show. And so I just did my first broadcast, which was very edgy. And the show's called Rage Against Dystopia. So just imagine.
Just
think rage.
I was just going to say.
Very raging.
Yeah. The first word. Think that because that's what you're going to get.
Yeah. In fact, maybe we'll play some clips from some raging moments that I've had over the last week and stuff at the end of this show so people can get a taste. But that said, I can get yakky.
Yeah.
And that show is great for that. So, because the confessionals is for people, you know, and this show too, where we interview people. This show is very conversational.
Right.
But the confessionals, because of the content, we really
like more paranormal.
Yeah, I let people lead. So if people need help with the conversation, I talk there. More. But if they can take it, I'm happy just sitting there and listening, you know? That was a long, rounded way to say, yeah, I can get yakky.
See? What I tell you.
Yep.
So no apologies necessary for getting long-winded, Mike.
Not at all. I just took up 10 minutes of people's time for something. They're like, we don't care.
We know you have another show.
Get back. Which show is it? The Confessionals? Rage Against Utopia? From the Fans? Nobody even knows about the From the Fans yet. From the Stands.
He doesn't even know.
I don't even know.
He doesn't even know his own show.
I don't even know his own show. They're like, From the Stands? What are you talking about? It's coming. Don't even sweat it. And then the Treasure Hunting Show? What's that? I don't know. To be announced.
To be determined.
Yeah, that too. I'm still working out the logistics of it. But anyways, they're screaming.
Thanks for calling, Mike.
Yeah. And people are screaming to get back to the voicemail line. So let's get to the next one.
Hey, Tony. It's Dan, the sewer man from what am I saying? From episode 37.
He speaks about as good as I do.
Yes, he does. Oh, that's it. Mute my mic.
No, you're on. You're on. It was a little low.
Anyways, my headphones. I couldn't hear myself. Anyway. Listen,
I like busting chops, so there you go. All right, next up. Here we go.
Hey, Tony. It's Dan, the sewer man from what am I saying? From episode 37. I thought of a couple more stories after I saw that post you put on Instagram of a cesspool truck. And you were, driving behind it. I'm going to give a couple stories that happened to me, and then I want to give you one or two stories that happened to my father-in-law. He was in the sewer and drain business for 40 years, and he passed on from lung cancer about 5 years ago. And you think my stories are good? His stories, they blow mine out of the water. But on the last episode, I told you about, exploding manholes, and I actually forgot one story when we talked last. Well, me and this other guy, we went to a school, and there was, full septic tanks on the property. And with the tanks filled, everything was overflowing into the building. I mean, classrooms, everything. It was like a river of sewage inside the whole building. So, the head maintenance guy, he wanted this wrapped up fast. So, we go outside and we're ready to pump the pools. But before we do, we're like, we got to do something. We got to relieve the pressure in this building. So like, all right, well, we'll run a machine through it, see if we can get the clog open, if there's a clog. And then, while we're doing that, we'll pump the schools, we'll pump the septic tanks and the whole, all the water inside you just drop. So we go to this thing called a gem cap, which is basically like a gigantic rubber manhole. It's like an eight inch wide rubber gem cap. So the guy I'm with, he goes to loosen it. And when you have a full septic tank, a lot of times you'll get like a pocket of like compressed gas that will form between the water inside the building and the water inside the tank. So when this pocket lets go, it will come out under some force. Well, he takes a little screwdriver and he undoes the band on the gem cap. And this thing goes boom, takes off, goes up, flies up over the roof of the gym and lands up there. So that was that. And then, everything came out. We were able to take care of the problem. But yeah, this manhole probably went a good 30 feet up in the air and landed on the roof. So that was that story. Another story that I thought was kind of funny was in this old house, and in this house, the sewer line was elevated. It was about chest height in the basement. And, I was working with the homeowner and I was, running the machine, running the cable through the line. And he had a wine cellar. Okay. And, from the original backup that overflowed, it got into his wine cellar and, he was concerned about the bottles and everything like that. So we were working on the line. And bear in mind, I had the cap off. So any water they're using elsewhere in the house is just pouring out of this open sewer into the basement. Well, after a while, I'm like, what is that? I'm like, what is that smell, man? I'm like, something's odd. He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm feeling like a little, like a little tipsy here. So this goes on for a while. I'm like, I never smelled sewage like this before. Well, we find out after the fact that his wife was taking all the bottles from the wine cellar thinking they were, damaged from the sewage, and she was pouring them down the kitchen sink. So basically what was happening was she was pouring them down the kitchen sink thinking she was getting rid of them, and it just kept pouring up out of the open sewer that we had at the basement. So me and this guy were in there for like a half an hour before we realized what happened. We were walking out a little slanty and everything like that, wasted off of like probably 100 bottles of wine. She just kept dumping down the drain thinking they were going somewhere. So that was that story. My father-in-law, he did sewer and drain work in the city. You know, everything from, you know, pumping cesspools out here on the island to running the jet truck, you know, running box trucks and whatnot into Manhattan and the outer boroughs. Well, I mean, this is going back into probably the 70s, and I can tell you the story because all the guys involved have since passed on. But he and his partner were doing sewer jobs in some building. I want to say maybe Midtown Manhattan, Upper Manhattan, somewhere around there. And, you know, when you have a sewage backup, it's messy. You get a lot of water, and this basement was just trashed, and the super came down, and he got, you know, pissed. I mean, they didn't cause the mess. It just happened, but he got pretty aggravated that there was still a mess there, and he wanted them to, you know, get rid of it. Well, you know, you can't. You can't just, you know, dump, you know, there's certain ways you have to dispose of stuff. But, again, this is going back in the 70s, so what they ended up doing was they started busting holes in the floor, hoping that, you know, sometimes you break a couple of holes. I mean, it's basement, it's like disaster anyway. So, you know, you poke a couple of holes in the floor with a pitch bar, the water will go down, and then you can, you know, go about your business. So they do that, and like, all right, great, man. It makes the hole a little bit bigger. And you go, oh, great, the water's going down. Well, they look in the hole, and they see light. So they stopped and like, oh man. So they go outside, dude, it was over a subway station. So when they broke a hole open in this floor, everything in there was just went pouring down through there into the subway station below. There were people coming out with toilet paper on their hats and all that stuff. And it was bad. But, you know, again, this was in a different time, and, that was just one of the stories of many that he had that blew a lot of mine away. And I miss the man very much every day. So, Tony, Brian, thanks again. Guys, keep up the good work. Love the show. Maybe talk to you again soon.
Don't be a stranger.
Definitely don't.
Don't be a stranger. Man, you walk out of that subway and you're just like, what a crappy day. Oh, man. We have a lot of poop puns on
the
show, don't we?
The bleep hit the fan.
Yeah, the bleep hit the fan. Man, I'll tell you, that would be a bad, bad day.
Oh, that would be.
I guess I didn't get too deep into it, but I tell a story on next week's show about driving behind pigs in a trailer.
Yeah.
Gets a little poopy.
It does.
I didn't even share on that show. Like, it was all over my windshield.
Wow.
Everything. And it's just these. Ugh.
Yeah. Poop speckles.
It smelled great.
Glad it's not my truck.
Yeah, seriously. Well, somebody had to do it, I guess.
Oh, man.
Well, we got one more voicemail. Let's get to it.
Hey, guys. Calling in from the Big R and doing a little bit of local city driving. I guess only half of you know about that, but I kind of graduated from over the road to do this full time and never looked back. You know, yeah, you get to meet all the idiots in the road. Anyhow, a little story. And before I go, I want to give you a little shout out here on the road. Anyway, before I started driving, and that's a totally different story, I used to volunteer for a fire department down in a little town called Waverly in Virginia. And we got, didn't know a bunch of guys, you know, good friends, almost like a brotherhood. And I remember one night we got a call, it was pouring down rain, it was muddy, and we're talking, you know, old, country roads to where if you drove a big rig through, you'd probably only have like 4.5 feet on your passing side. That's how narrow some of these country roads were. Anyway, we got a call in, and I lived a few miles from the fire department, so I never did get to get on the truck very much. But when I did, I got to drive a tanker. Long story short, we got that call at night. Might have been for a lightning strike, and it was past the fire department. We were racing to get there, and I was in a little pickup truck, Isuzu pup, which no more than probably the size of a small pickup. And we're heading towards the fire, and I'm trying to get my speed up on these old country roads, and no avail. And here comes this car or truck or a headlight's coming up from behind me. I don't know what it is, but I mean, they're coming up pretty quick. So I decided, well, hey, I'm gonna pull off up here, but there's nowhere to turn on the right. So I decided I'm gonna take off to the left and into this guy's driveway. Well, I threw my brakes on and ducked on over into the driveway, and before I knew it, I'm still seeing headlights in the back of my rearview mirror, and they're shining all up on the dashboard, and I'm like, good night, what the heck? And I'm thinking, that's a Toyota pickup about to jump into the bed of my truck, and I thought two things. I said to myself, like, one, it's not good. But before I thought that, I thought maybe I should speed up a little bit to avoid getting hit, actually rear-ended. Unfortunately, we were in this guy's yard by this time, sliding around like pigs in a pigsty. And I don't know. I don't know what happened, but he missed me, totally missed me, and went around me finally. And it was one of the guys in the fire department that had been living in this place for probably all his life, so he knew all the back roads like Brer Rabbit knew the briar patch. Long story short, or to end it, he and I met up after at the firehouse after we got done, and neither one of us knew what prevented each other from running into he getting hit and ended up not going to the fire. So that's a boring story. I've got some more, but they're not as boring. Let's just start off with that one. Hey, you guys have a blessed day. See ya.
So funny. He calls in.
Critiques his own story. it wasn't a boring story. I just did it, man.
That's so like, funny.
Wow, what the heck?
That was a boring story. I didn't expect that. Oh, man. He tells the story. He's like, that was a boring story.
Oh, man.
Sorry for wasting time.
It wasn't boring.
I got better ones than that. Oh, man. Listen, man, just call us. You can call the line or just drop us an email and get on the show. You know?
And tell us all the stories.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I think this is the first time somebody gave us a toot toot on the show, you know, like Mike would say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Toot. Toot. That's cool.
That was cool.
So he was talking about that. I just had this flashback years ago. I was driving home during a snowstorm, and it was back when I had the Forester, the Subaru Forester. Mm-hmm. And
is this going to be a boring story?
It might be. But whenever it's a snow out, I'm probably one of the slower people taking the caution, you know, like I just really slow it down. And funny story is I totaled that car. So
driving slow
in a different story. So, but no, I was driving down 422 and there was this pickup truck that was in the passing lane, and the passing lane was just snow. There was no nothing, you know.
No lane. There was just no lane. Yeah.
And he goes by me, I thought faster than I felt comfortable, you know. And he goes flying by me, and then all of a sudden he swerves in front of me and cuts across right in front, not right in front of me, he's probably about, I'd say, 30, 40 feet ahead of me now, but he just loses traction, and he cuts across the lane in front of me into the ditch and up the hill, and I just kept going.
Sorry, buddy, you're on your own.
Listen, in a normal circumstance, I'm stopping. But I am driving slow for a reason, because I don't want to get stuck. So I'm going to keep driving. You do you, boo. You know what I mean?
You're all hard, dude.
I wonder if I ever told the story of me totaling that car on the show.
So. No.
Yeah. It was, don't touch your phone while you drive. Yeah, it was before I was driving at Pitt, actually. I was driving, it was my wife's car, and I was driving to somewhere. I used to... Shit, that was her car, and I had a Mitsubishi Eclipse, and the steering is so much tighter on those. And so I forget what happened, but my phone wound up falling and onto the floor on the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at it, I'm like, I'll just get it when I get wherever I was going. And I was looking at it, I was like, it's bothering me. It's sitting over there.
Mm-hmm. And just looking at you, yeah, it's calling your name.
Like, pick me up, Tony. I miss you.
I can't see out the window.
Daddy, hold me. You know? And so I was like, I can do this. And so
cautionary tale coming.
Yeah. I just reach over and I'm looking, like I'm watching the road, and I have my hand on my phone, and I see I'm getting too close to the guardrail, and so I jerk the wheel to the left, and it didn't respond the way I'm used to it's responding, and I kept going towards the towards the guardrail, and I took out the whole side of the car, man, the whole side of the car, and I was like, oh god, and wherever I was going, I turned around, came home, and I was like, Linz, gotta talk to you. And I showed her the car, and I was like, maybe they can fix it, you know. I drove it to a body shop. The guy looked at me, he's like, well, listen, can I fix it? Yes. But is it worth the money? No. So
it's kind of like my car, you know. Deer runs into the side of my car.
Yeah, that was literally your fault.
Runs into the side of my car, and it still looks like a deer ran inside of my car.
Yeah.
324,000 miles. I'm not fixing it.
No, I wouldn't either. Just,
it is what it is.
I wouldn't either.
Put a new mirror on. We're good to go.
So I had an idea after that incident. I was like, man, like, I just shouldn't have touched the phone. Mm-hmm. You know, it would have saved me buying another car, all that stuff. And I was really frustrated by it. And I had this idea. I was like, I wonder if we could make, like, because this is like the entrepreneur side of me. Mm-hmm. And I was always thinking, like, what doesn't exist yet that I can make, you know?
Right.
And I was like, I wonder if I can make some kind of like glove box for phones that the car doesn't turn on unless the phone's in the glove box, like underneath your driver's seat or something.
Bad idea.
Right? Like, it was such a bad idea.
It's a bad idea.
Oh, it was awful idea.
Yeah.
But I was like, I bet that would be great. And I was sketching, like,
Don't give anybody ideas.
I was looking at the gun safe boxes, mm-hmm. on how like the biometrics work and everything. I was looking at all this stuff, and then I realized they didn't have any money to do this project anyways. Yeah. You
know? And we don't need Big Brother telling us.
No.
I mean, just use common sense. Employ the God given common sense you have, and leave your phone on the seat next to you.
Yeah.
And if it falls on the floor, it's okay to leave it there.
Yeah. Yeah, because I didn't even get to where I was going.
No.
And I wound up having to buy a new car.
An expensive lesson.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Not to mention you had to come home and tell your wife you wrecked the
car. Yeah, she was not happy.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't get mad at me about stuff like that, but she's just like, freaking A, because now we got to buy a new car, mm-hmm. you know, and we were broke.
Right.
And that car was paid off, you know, so that it was.
Could have been your new house.
Wow.
You know, just in case. You know, it was a Forester, so it's a station wagon. It's a little more roomy than an Eclipse. You have to live in one or the other, you know.
Just in case
things fall apart more.
You've
got a place to go to.
Yep.
You know.
Fold down the seats.
Exactly. Yep. There you go. You got a place to sleep.
Yep. All works out great. Some people actually make their vehicles into those campers and stuff.
Yeah.
And some people get very, you know, ingenuitive with it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I had a friend that I used to play in basketball leagues with.
Ingenuitive? Is that like a new word?
I don't know. I make up words as like ingenious. Ingenuity.
Inventive.
What's the word I'm looking for then?
Ingenious.
Is it ingenious?
Ingenious.
Okay. Are you sure? I'm thinking ingenuity, so ingenuitive. Mm-hmm. Why can't we just make up words?
Okay, we are now. I mean, your mom sent me a text or a link to a story about new words in the English language, and supposedly is now a new word.
Yeah.
Supposedly, because everybody messes up supposedly. Now we've actually added supposedly
just to appease
the people who don't know how to use the English language
and
correctly.
That's the world we're living in.
Yes.
Okay. So my friend from high school that I used to play basketball with, his older brother, I think what the story was is that he actually sold his house,
mm-hmm.
and took all the money, put it in a bank, and decided to just travel the country.
Oh.
And he was single and stuff.
Right.
And he did up his whole car and stuff. And it was like, a home on wheels, you know, and it wasn't like a big camper or anything. It was just like a regular hatchback that he slept in and stuff.
Wow.
And it worked. And he traveled all over the place.
Ingenuitively. Supposedly ingenuitively.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. Word Nazi has arrived.
Oh, there it is. This is the same guy that used to hound me when I was a kid. And I would say sixth, I would say sixth.
Yeah, sixth.
I didn't put the TH on. I'd be like six or sixth.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, it's sixth.
It's got a TH at the end. And like the sixth you one, always like the fifth one.
It's sixth. Like it was like, you know, like you're a mob boss. You Baluka, it's sixth. You know? It's like, golly.
Yes, boss.
And now like it scarred me. So now like every time I say that word, I hear you saying it. And over the last year with mask, well, it's masks. Yeah. And so, like, every time I say masks, I say it extendedly because I got to make sure it sounds proper.
You just say, yes, Mr. Provolone.
Yeah, I hope people get that.
They won't.
I hope people. It wasn't. It was, like, literally.
Underrated. Show, or underrated movie of his, by Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, ever.
Yes. And it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious.
I mean, like, I have that movie on DVD. I don't even. Oh, no. We have a DVD player now. But, like, it is a go-to. And.
Yep,
I remember. Oscar. Yeah, Oscar. I remember when me and Lindsay were dating. I told her about this movie. She never heard about it. And mm-hmm. Lindsay's movie buff, all that. And I told her it's a Stallone movie. It's a comedy. She's like, yep. "What?" I'm like, "I'm telling you, it's hilarious." Yep. And she loves it.
Yep. It's a great movie.
It's such a funny movie.
It is
such a funny movie. But yeah, man, we should play like clips from that sometime.
We should.
Holy crap.
Just for the heck of
it. Oh my gosh. That talk about a soundbite machine.
Yes.
Oh, that word, movie.
Yeah.
It's just Dr. Pooh. Hello. Get back in the room.
It's just... Bring in the little black pig. and it's a cameo freaking free for all. It's like cameos here and cameos there. All it's over. Great.
I mean, like everybody in that movie, what's her face?
What's her face?
His daughter.
Marissa Tomei.
Marissa Tomei is his daughter.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Tim Curry.
I mean, it's just, it is one of the best movies. This is the movie review section of the show.
It is, yes.
And we highly recommend everybody go. It's probably, you can probably watch it.
Siskel and Ebert. That's what we are here. And we're built like Siskel and Ebert. let you use your imagination, folks.
There you go. You could probably purchase it. Or even rent it on Amazon for 99 cents now. Yeah. You know, like it's. I promise you, it's worth the watch. Yeah. And if you watch it and you agree with us, give us a call on the voicemail line.
Yeah.
If you don't agree with us, don't even bother
because
we
don't hear everybody.
No, we don't want to hear any negative talk about the great Oscar movie. Okay.
It's probably my favorite Sylvester Stallone movie.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And you know, don't ask me why it's called Oscar because it really.
I don't know.
There's probably so many other things that could have called it, and they called it after one character that doesn't appear at all in the movie till the end, you know?
That's hilarious.
That's probably why, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are you?
I'm Oscar! People are gonna think we're freaking nuts.
It is what it is. Like, we watched that movie so much, man. Did. It was such a good movie.
But you know what? It's funny, because that was a movie that your mom and I could sit with your kids.
Yeah.
Because you guys weren't old yet. I mean, you were still a kid. You were still living at home.
Mm, well, yeah.
You know, young kid.
We watched that in the trailer park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was something we could watch with kids and all get a chuckle out of it.
Yeah.
You know, you try and be a good parent and make sure the kids don't see things that are inappropriate. And that was a good movie. It was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. And that's a wrap, I think.
That is a wrap.
I think that movie was in 92. I think it was made in 92, if I remember correctly.
Probably right, yeah.
But
so that's a while ago.
Yeah, friends, thanks for tuning into the show and just listening to us banter back and forth for an hour and a half, do voicemails and have some fun. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And, you know, we always like to tell you guys to share the show.
Always.
And usually Dad does it, but I'll do it this week. Please, please share the show.
See, that's what happens when you let somebody else do your job. Become whiny.
No, but seriously, share the show if you like the show, especially you drivers out there. Please share it among the other truckers out there. We definitely want to get more exposure to the trucking industry, and I think truckers will enjoy the show. Hopefully they enjoy the show,
and it gives us more people. You know, if they have stories, you know, they'll share them.
Yeah,
you know, and that's what we want. That's what the show's all about.
Yeah, or you know, taxi drivers, whoever, like anybody you know that drives for a living, please share the show with them and tell them that we want to talk to them.
And if you don't think that it means anything to anybody, just remember Mary's email.
There you go.
You know,
it's going to be part of driver's ed these days.
Yes, it will.
So there you go. But yeah, share the show. Follow us on social media: Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I think, well, Dad, you're not really active much on social media these days. No, and I'm mostly active on Instagram.
Right.
So please go ahead and follow us on our Instagram. Dad, actually, our Instagram passed 1,000 follows this past week. Yeah. So
tells you how often I look at Instagram.
Yeah.
I can't even hardly get on it.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, we're on Instagram and stuff. And
Lindsay does a great job on Facebook. She really does. Lindsay and Instagram, and Dylan, Twitter, and all Josh, that. And yep. Jack. You know, they're all there and they're all, you know, doing stuff, so it's cool.
Yeah, so go ahead and follow us on social media. Give us that email if you want to come on the show at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. And also give us a 5-star rating review on iTunes if you enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy the show, still give us a 5-star rating review for effort. Yeah. And, you know, we'll hit you back next week with another show.
Keep the hammer down and the hammer laying.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that part.
Yeah, I figured you did my part. I figured I would do yours.
I knew. I'm looking at the screen.
There's something wrong. What didn't we do?
Forgetting something. I'll do your part then.
There you go.